You're listening to Andrew Haunt's Rock Revival with me, Andrew Haunt, formerly of Paraplay magazine, a lifetime fan of rock and metal. This is the show where I talk about rock and metal albums you've heard of and some you haven't. In this episode, I'm going to talk about the 1992 debut album by Bangalore Choir, an album called On Target. Now, this is a pure hard rock record, really strong songs, extremely strong and focused sound from the entire band. However, it kind of disappeared without a trace at the time. When it was originally released in 1992, the world was moving well into the grunge era. You know, everyone wanted to, mainly the mainstream, wanted to listen to Nirvana and Pearl Jam and Soundgarden and the like. And, you know, that's fine, that's up to them, but some of us out there still wanted some pure hard rock. Now, this album did feature songs co-written by Jon Bon Jovi and Aldo Nova. And despite having those names involved in the album, it wasn't really a success and the band split up. The most noticeable thing about the band's lineup was vocalist David Rees, who had come to prominence in the rock and metal scene previously by taking over the vocalist spot in Accept from the legendary Udo Dirkschneider, a man legendary for both his name and his voice. So, On Target, I came into contact with this album far later than 1992. It was probably about 95 that I found this, 94, 95. And I know I got it from the Powerhouse record store, so that probably actually puts it a little bit earlier. But I remember that when I bought this, it was reduced in the Powerhouse store, and it was in an American long box. So CD long boxes are something that I really never really understood. I mean, why were they a thing? If anyone could inform me as to why they were a thing, what the intention was with CD long boxes, please do let me know at Andrew Haunt on Instagram or Twitter or all over the place. But yeah, if you're not aware of what a long box was, it was the CD in a longer box. So it's like double the length of the CD. I don't understand why. It was more an American thing than a UK thing. It didn't really translate well to the UK market. Anyway, the album had an extremely strong set of songs, some of which, as mentioned, were co-written by Jon Bon Jovi and Aldo Nova, and their influences are evident in some of the songs. But the album kicks off with Angel in Black, and it is a phenomenal first song. That song is just incredible. A really definite statement of intent. It opens with a really ripping guitar solo and moves into quite a croony first verse from vocalist David Rees. And that first verse, it brings to mind kind of a Whitesnake vibe. And, you know, I'm all for that. There's nothing wrong with that. There's some David Coverdale going on there. When it hits the chorus, however, you're definitely into more Accept territory. And the huge chorus of that first track, Angel in Black, is utterly unforgettable. I do hugely recommend at least checking out that track because it tells you pretty much everything you need to know about On Target. One thing I didn't really need with On Target was the rather unfortunate original album cover, which features a lady in military garb and high heels riding a rocket. There's a euphemism for you. But anyway, yeah, that was replaced later on when the album was re-released. So after Angel in Black, it goes a little bit more mellow, not entirely mellow, but it goes a little bit more mid-paced with Loaded Gun. And that is followed by an irresistible ballad, a huge ballad, which was in the form of If the Good Die Young, We'll Live Forever. Seriously, first check out Angel in Black, then check out If the Good Die Young, We'll Live Forever. I believe there was a video made for that track at the time, but it is superb. That is followed by Doing the Dance. Now, that song is co-written by Aldo Nova and Jon Bon Jovi, and they are all over it. It has the Bon Jovi swagger, it has the Aldo Nova great big chorus, and while the influences there from Jon Bon Jovi and Aldo Nova could be seen as being a little bit, not quiet, but they didn't really keep with what had come before on the album. However, the performance of David Rees and the members of Bangalore Choir do lift it up to be a much harder song than it could have been. In fact, I think it brings to mind something off of, say, Porno Graffiti era Extreme. That's followed by Hold On To You, which is a bit kind of standard rock tune. It's not bad, it's not brilliant. It's nowhere near as good as the sixth track, All Or Nothing, which is a really fierce, ballsy, hard rock tune. Little edges of metal to it, but mainly just ballsy hard rock. Any band would be proud to put out a song like that. That's followed by Slipping Away and She Can't Stop and Freight Train Rolling. And all of these, they're just great rock songs. The album ends on a track called Just One Night. And you're left wanting more. None of the tracks on the album are particularly long. I think the shortest is, 3 minutes 11, while the longest on the album is 4 minutes 26. And that's If the Good Die Young Will Live Forever. And that's, it doesn't hang about. It doesn't give you time to get bored or fed up with the style. The performances on the album are uniformly excellent. And the production is powerful as well. Everything is audible, everything is clear, and I think it was just a bit too polished for what people's tastes at the time. There were no rough edges on this album. It's just a pure, unadulterated hard rock album. If it had come out in, say, 1990 or even 89, I think this would have been a lot more of a big hit at the time. There's so much to enjoy in this album. There really is. It is an excellent, excellent album. And I just thought that would be it from the band. They just kind of disappeared after that. They went their separate ways. They went and did different things. However, much, much later, when I was working for Powerplay Rock and Metal magazine, I did actually get to interview David Reese, vocalist for Bangalore Choir. And that was really exciting. Like, oh, dude, this is the guy from Bangalore Choir. This is, you know, my obscure rock background coming back. This is brilliant. And he was promoting a side project album he'd done under the name Reese Cronland, which again is a fantastic, straightforward hard rock record. I do recommend that. However, around that time, I think it was around that time that Bangalore Choir came back. And they came back with an album called Cadence, which, while very different to On Target, it was still a very strong rock record. A little bit different in sound, a little bit different in approach, far more mature than what had gone before with On Target, and it certainly had a far more mature cover. That's all I'll say about that. That was followed by another album called Metaphor later on. But my main experience with this was On Target. That is an album I still love to this day, still play to this day. There was a live album featuring most of the songs from On Target. Thank you. In fact, I think it features all of them, plus a Ted Nugent song, but, you know, I won't hold that against them. But it features the songs in a different order. Now, that was from Firefest 2010, and I was at that show, but not for their set. Due to a prior arrangement, myself and my other half, we were going to a wedding. I'd got passes for Firefest because I was covering some of the bands that were on later that night. But it just meant I just missed seeing Bangalore Choir live. However, I did pick up the live album from the Firefest record label that followed it soon after, and got to check it out that way. And it's phenomenal. The band were really on form. They hadn't skimped on any rehearsals or anything like that. The songs from On Target were, if you'll pardon the expression, absolutely on target. The performances were excellent. The production of it was superb. But Firefest didn't really ever do anything by halves. No matter who the band was, they were given an excellent sound, a brilliant stage presence, and it just worked really well. But that it did make me think about the place of these rock albums in people's lives. It's a theme that does recur with a lot of things I listen to, and when I'm thinking back about the earlier days of my music fandom. Something like On Target, it felt like a delicious secret for such a long time and was very special to me. It was a rock album that pretty much nobody around me had ever heard, from a band that pretty much nobody had ever heard of. And yet it was of such a high standard that it just felt like one of the greats to me, and was a huge influence on my music listening and how my music listening developed. And I guess also how my guitar playing developed and songwriting when I joined bands. You know, my bands never went anywhere either, but Bangalore Choir went a damn sight further than I ever did. they're still, the quality of what they put out with that first album, with On Target, was just so excellent and of such a high standard that it is still very listenable today. Granted, doing the dance, the Jon Bon Jovi Aldo Nova song does stick out a bit and is very poppy and a little bit more extreme styled than, say, a lot of the other stuff, which is a bit more Whitesnake with a little bit of his Accept feel in there. Very, very powerful rock music. You know, doing the dance sticks out, but other than that, you know, there's so much to love there. But then growing up and discovering that the audience at Firefest went absolutely nuts for Bangalore Choir, and the album, you can hear it on the live album, the crowd reaction is just stupendous. And it made me think, you know, these things are very special to you on a personal level. Albums are so special. Music is so personal to an individual. And yet, then you get to go and spend some time around a crowd of like-minded people who love the same thing. And I was there. Firefest was such a special festival. I honestly will do an episode all about Firefest at some point, but what the band brought to the table on that live album, and from the reaction of the people I know that went to Firefest, so they really did it justice. And that is amazing. And I think that they certainly did justice to the legacy of that album. You know, for something to be loved for 30 years, and yet it just kind of disappeared at the time under the weight of the grunge scene. That's amazing to think that something that would be laughed at in some circles held such a special place for so many people. And it certainly did to me. And I still love that album today. So yeah, if you haven't ever heard of it before, do check out some of the tracks from On Target. Pick up the album that was re-released. I think it was remixed as well, but yeah, I didn't really need it. Do give that a listen. Give it a try. And discover a new favourite band that you didn't know exist. It's well worth it. David Reese's voice is just a glorious thing to behold. And the songwriting on show, irresistible. A lot of those songs, such as All or Nothing, of the aforementioned Angel in Black, should definitely have been hard rock genre classics. It feels like a bit of a masterpiece, the album. It is a bit crushing that no one has heard it, or so few people have heard it. As long as people can get past the slightly dodgy cover art and the slightly dodgy band photo, there's a lot of hairspray going on there and some very tight trousers, get past that and just listen. And wow, it is an extremely powerful piece of hard rock history. And that's why it's here on this show. I just wanted to capture my thoughts on this album, On Target, by Bangalore Choir. I'm Andrew Horn. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Andrew Horn's Rock Revival. I'm currently boiling myself to death recording this. It's very hot here in Nottingham at the moment. So I'm going to go and cool down and probably spin some Bangalore Choir. I'm definitely going to go and spin the debut again. Thank you very much for listening to my Rock Revival.